Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to continue on in our series on overcoming depression, and this will be part number two. And I really like the things that the Lord had led us to speak about in part number one, sweetheart. And yes. I think jumping right into it and going to a couple examples of my own life was, you know, going to be very helpful to some people, because sometimes, you know, you need help like right away, and there's right. no better time than the present versus having to listen to a series several parts into it before you actually get to some information that's, you know, applicable, helpful for the person. And I really felt just to jump on those examples and what to do, you know, when it comes to demonic oppression being a big part of the spiritual warfare a person will go through with depression, because depression is one of those things, as I said, that is often not thought of as being a demonic attack, you know, that it's just circumstantial. And it's based upon a person just not discipline themselves in their mind and their thinking to think on positive things or what have you. But we know that it can be demonic.
That's
and
right.
if it is, we have to deal with it appropriately. But we also know there's other contributing factors that can go into this thing as well. And I think I feel led to speak about some of those things today concerning the natural processes and remedies, as well as what we're talking about, the spiritual, because health and nutrition is very important to our body and to our body chemistry, you know, our metabolism and hormones and all those things, and they're very complex. And without the proper nutrition, it can definitely contribute to all kinds of health problems, even mentally and emotionally. So before we get into any and all of that, I like to always introduce my beautiful, wonderful sweetheart, my wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. This is definitely a topic that everyone, whether you're going through it or not, we need to listen to, because I think everybody knows someone who may have struggled or is struggling with depression. So I do want to encourage the listeners, in the name of Jesus, please go back and listen to part one. I know that you're going to be very edified. There was some emotional moments there as well. Some things that just hit home. So I know that you're going to enjoy it. And the most importantly, you're going to be on the road to being free and or help someone else obtain that victory that's so desperately needed.
That's so true, sweetheart, because, you know, our base text that we're taking here from John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says it's the thief that cometh not, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
And I can't see how depression is abundant life.
No.
And anxiety and fear and all kinds of turmoil, that's not part of the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Now, am I saying that we will live a life free from any kind of, any kind of pressure, stress, or troubles? I'm not saying that. I'm saying is Jesus has given us a pathway, you might say, roadway, in order to remedy those things when they do come.
Right.
Because the scripture does say that many are the afflictions of the righteous, mm-hmm.
but
he delivers out of them all.
Oh,
right. So they're not meant to last, and they don't come from him, because his word says, Jesus said, the thief is the one who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Talking about Satan. His demonic powers. They're the ones who come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life, and life more
Amen.
Abundantly.
Amen.
So joy and peace, mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit, is the example of what we would say is evidence of abundant life.
That's right.
Because if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then you know, you're doing very well, you know?
You know, I feel led to jump in and just make this comment because just out of personal experience, I know some people that are actually struggling with depression. And maybe some of the listeners may think, why are you even associating this with spiritual manners? Because I know that some conversations I had previously with some people, they do not accept or believe that there's anything spiritual in terms of depression, any kind of that it doesn't relate in any way. And definitely, as we mentioned before, you know, sometimes there are some hormonal imbalances that cause a certain level of sadness. Not that it's justified for it to keep you there for a long period of time, but I want to encourage the listener, just be open to what the Lord may be saying to you. Just be open to what the Holy Spirit may be pointing out. Because if it's not spiritual, you know, if it's a hormonal imbalance and sometimes with the thyroid and you need some medication, praise God. Praise God that with that, you know, you'll be able to come through and it'll just be a season and you'll cross over. But please be open to the possibility that there may be a spiritual component. Because one thing that the enemy loves is to remain hidden and unrecognized. So if it's something spiritual, the enemy definitely does not want you to know that it's something spiritual. Why? Because he came to destroy. He wants to keep you in bondage. But the Lord has come to make us free. So let's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing.
And yes, that's so very important because, you know, one particular type of ailment or sickness or disease may have different sources. You know, it isn't always the devil. It isn't always a physical illness. Right. It is, you know, it could be one of the two or other things. I mean, far as I understand, in the physical, it has to do with the emotions, but the emotions are also, a subject to a lot of the physical conditions that we go through. Like you said, a hormonal imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hormones are very complex.
Very.
The human body and the physiology of the human body and mind and spirit, all these things are very complex. And doctors, you know, have studied for years in science, have discovered many things over the years that's very helpful to people. And, you know, vitamin deficiencies and minerals, vitamins and minerals and things that we, may say we've taken for granted are not so much things now that we can take for granted, because the fact is the way, especially those of us who live in the West, you know, in the United States and more developed countries, we're eating more often processed foods that have been manufactured by corporations and a lot of additives and a lot of preservatives and genetic modifications,
right,
of the food, hormones that are given to animals, growth hormones that are
given
to chickens to make them grow bigger.
That's right. And we're consuming all that.
And we're consuming those hormones that are in the chicken, you know? And different things, you know, the different types of sweeteners, replacing regular sugar with artificial sweeteners that are basically been bioengineered. You know, they're not in nature anywhere. They've been created in a lab, and some for the purpose of being able to mass produce these sweeteners at a greater, you know, capacity at a lower cost,
right,
you know, versus trying to harvest sugar cane or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm getting at is this, there is a component of health-related depression.
Yes.
I believe that can be caused by certain mineral and vitamin mm-hmm. deficiencies in the human body. You know, and maybe other things that maybe it could be genetic as well.
It could be a mourning process as well. You know, someone who's going through a very difficult situation, a great loss, and you're mourning through it.
And yeah, we talked about that in the first part as well, is things that trigger, you know, a tragic event, you know, loss of a family member, things of that nature. So it's not only physiological, but it's mental and emotional.
That's
because
right.
It's very emotional to lose a loved one, especially a tragic event. You know, when your parents get older and they're getting to that point of old age and you can see it coming, it's at least from my perspective and opinion, it's not always free of being heartbroken, but it's softening more of the pain when you know their time is coming.
Right.
And they know the Lord and they're going to go home to be with the Lord. So in one sense of the word, they're getting promoted to a new life that's free of pain and suffering, and they're going to be in heaven with the Lord. And you know, we want to celebrate that. Versus, you know, a tragic event where you just lost, you know, a child or a spouse or someone like that in a car accident,
right,
or some disease suddenly it came on and within just a few weeks they're dead.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking. It's hard to deal with that. And yes, there is that component there in the emotional arena, mental arena, of being able to help try to remedy those things, you know. People who will come alongside and embrace you and hug you and show you love.
That's
you know those types of things are very helpful. It's very helpful that we don't look at people in whatever state they're in and just automatically dismiss them. Like, well, you know what your problem is? You just won't get over the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your problem is? You just need to. Now, am I saying there's not cases of need for that? Maybe at times. You know, but one needs to be careful that they're not one person who thinks that, you know, that it's their job to always be God's hand of rebuke to everybody.
Right. And all cases are not the same. We need to be sensitive and have discernment, right?
Yes. And so...
That's right.
With that being said, you know, we got some background noise here, some people coming into the home.
This is live.
So, yeah, this is live, real life situation here. But anyway, you know, kind of getting back to it, there can be many factors involved. And one thing that I have learned over the years is to seek the Lord. To find out what does he say about the situation that he can lead you into. Because he knows whether it's a vitamin deficiency.
Right.
He knows whether it is a hormonal imbalance through any of those things. He knows whether it is
a broken heart
that needs to be healed.
Right.
He knows whether it's our own lack of discipline in our thought processes and not, you know, always allowing ourselves to think on the negative all
that's
the time.
Right.
That's right. And he knows whether it's demonic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those things can kind of interconnect, you know, because when you are going through a tragic event, you know, that's the perfect time for the enemy to come in to attack you.
Vulnerable.
You know, to kick you when you're down.
Yeah.
In the same way with health, you know, to oppress you so that you, you know, won't have the discipline to go eat healthy and find out healthy types of foods to eat and such that would actually help. You know, because there are many health benefits to eating healthy, you know, because it actually reverses a lot of the things that people have, hypertension and high blood pressure and diabetes and
even cancer,
and such, that many of these foods and supplements have reversed those things, you know. And I'm not going to go into anything near close to, you know, trying to be exhaustive in that. There are plenty of things on the YouTube I like to look at. Mm-hmm. Doctors that have studied health and nutrition, especially those who practice medicine for a number of years and their only background was to treat the sickness and the disease in terms of surgery or some kind of medication. Until they started getting sick themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they went through having the flu and all kinds of different sicknesses and diseases and start realizing there's more to it than just remedying those things through, you know, those means.
Right.
And finding the that they weren't taught. You know, as some of them have said, they weren't taught the things about nutrition and health. You know, and so as they began to explore those areas, they begin to see, and that was the root cause of many of their ailments, right, and other people's ailments. That when somebody had actually put into practice some of those things of health and nutrition, guidelines that they gave, their condition changed dramatically.
Amen.
And reversed itself.
That's,
you know,
right.
Now I'm not saying you may not need surgery. I'm not saying you may not need counseling. I mean, say that you may not need, mm-hmm, surgery, you know, that medical intervention, because,
right,
I've had to have it before. But yet at the same time, when I look at why have I had some of these health issues for a number of years, I had to go back and look at maybe there's another component there, health and nutrition. Now, of course, I mentioned in the first part how the Lord showed me about it, depression being demonic. And obviously it was demonic, because when he spoke to me that time through Brother Norval Hayes' teaching, that if anything's not right, not love, joy, peace, and patience, and kind, all that, what I'm feeling is not right, rebuke it because it's the devil. And I didn't know if it was or not. I said, well, okay, what would it hurt to try? So I said, if this thing is of the devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke and I command it to go. And the depression lifted,
wow,
immediately.
Wow, I love that story.
And I was actually stunned that it worked like that, you know.
Praise God.
But there have been other cases where I've dealt with depression and it didn't go instantly. And then I began to learn that there was other things involved in it, you know, and, you know, a vitamin deficiency like vitamin D. My doctor told me I was extremely low on vitamin D and I need to get on this supplement like immediately, you know, and there's can be like magnesium, calcium, all kinds of different things. And of course, there's a lot of different debates about whether or not the supplements are the best way, or as most will say that it's found mostly in food. You know, that's where your real help is at. So like I said, I'm not going to get into the details of that, but I wanted to just bring it up and point people in the right direction, that there are different things that may be the source of the problem and or the remedy to the problem. And with that being said, is God knows. And this is what's so beautiful to me about what Jesus said when he said the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Number one is the Lord wants you to have abundant life.
Amen.
That is his desire.
Yes.
And if you know that, then you can know this. He will help point you in the direction to obtain it.
That's right.
Even though you don't know what the source of the problem is. Is it a hormone imbalance? Is it genetic? You know, because even we've said about things being genetic, passed down from past generations,
right?
Right? And so it could be in any number of things, but the Lord knows. He knows all things.
Yes, he does. You know, and yesterday, I just want to jump in quickly. Yesterday, once again, that podcast was so powerful. It was amazing. And once again, I encourage the listeners to go back and listen to part one. There was a moment where you said, I want to speak to anyone right now who is having thoughts of suicide. And that was such a powerful moment where it would be hard to explain to the listeners what happened here on our end. There was just this manifestation of the presence of God. And even as I'm repeating it now, there's just this manifestation of God's presence, because why has the Spirit led you to share this topic, about this topic? Because there is such a great need for people to know that there is hope. And I want to bring that word up again. There is hope. And I'm not sure in English how it reads, but in Psalm 27, and I love this verse 13, it says, I would have, in Spanish it says, fainted. I imagine maybe dismayed. Had I not believed, and I love that, and I have to say it again, I would have remained hopeless. I'm going to say it like that. I would have remained hopeless. I would have allowed my heart to stay broken. I would have allowed my plans that have not come to pass to put a great sadness over me. I would have allowed, and you can just fill that blank, but it doesn't stay there. It says, it doesn't end there. It says, had I not believed, just believed, hallelujah, praise God for hope. Had I not believed, and had I not had hope that I will see the goodness of the Lord, hallelujah, and that is for here and now. So joining into that moment yesterday where you said, this is for you, I want to reiterate that and say there is hope for you in the name of Jesus. Hold on to this beautiful word of hope that the Lord is giving you, and He will set your feet on the right path.
Yes, I mean, because when you become hopeless, you basically have given up.
That's right. The enemy loves that.
And not only it puts you in a bad place in terms of how you feel, hopeless has got to be probably the worst feeling ever. You know, because even if you're in pain, mm-hmm. even if you have been diagnosed with cancer and you have hope, it's still that hope will help you.
That's right.
It will be a blessing to you and help you to overcome, because hope also will point you in a direction toward the help that you need.
True.
Right? Because when you've given up, when people have given up, they isolate themselves and they don't listen. They don't want to hear anything.
Right.
They just tune out the world.
Right.
And that's the worst place that you can be. And we're here to tell you that we know. I don't know what you might be going through right now, but I know what depression is. I've had it, and I've had it many times. And there's other things I can talk about with some things that I was given treatment for that actually had opposite effects and some bad effects on my body. Mm. And I'm just now starting to come out of some of those
Praise
things,
God.
You know, because I decided, you know what, I'm not going to continue to take that treatment, you know. So we'll talk about that maybe another time. But my point is this: Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. And if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to receive Him.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't even know if I believe in all that stuff. Well, you can always pray and ask God to reveal Himself to you, because one is, you know, people talk about, well, God will send people to hell, but here's the thing. He gives everybody the chance, the opportunity to receive salvation.
That's right.
And He's not going to send anyone to hell without an opportunity to know what the truth is so they can receive the truth. Because how's He going to hold anybody accountable for something they weren't given the opportunity to know whether it's true or not?
God is good and fair.
Because we hear people say this, I hear people say this, you know, once in a while I'll hear somebody say, well, you know, you believe all that because you're raised in America where Christianity is the predominant religion. But what about other religions? What about places where they don't have any knowledge of any of these things? You know, there's still a heart of man that God has put in them to want to know truth, to what is out there beyond me. You know, it says in Romans 1 that He's made Himself known through the creation.
Amen.
The earth, the stars of heaven, you know, the universe. That people will know that there is something out there greater than themselves. And you can know Him. And if you're not sure whether you even believe in the Christian faith, you know, because I may be here having listeners here, or it may at some point in the future listen to this podcast and say, I don't know. But you can know by asking God to reveal Himself.
That's true.
Asking Him, show me the truth of who You are and whether this Jesus is really the true salvation of the world. Right. And He will show you.
He will show you.
So what we know, we're telling you what we know and what we've experienced. And we met Him
That's right. We
know Him, and He's an integral part of our life. And with that, when I say He's salvation, He's come also not just to save you from going to hell, which is very important, and give you eternal life.
Amen.
A life to live in heaven after you pass on to the next life. But He's here to come to give you victory over depression. over fear, over anxiety, over everything, Lord, that he knows that the devil has sent to try to steal, mm-hmm. kill, and destroy in your life. And so with that, the Lord Jesus can be your guide. And he will teach you all things. The scripture tells us this, that he told his disciples, he said that it was to their advantage that he went away, because if he did not go away, the helper would not come. And the helper was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He said that he will come, and the world cannot receive him because it neither knows him nor sees him. But you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is sent to live within you. But you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to receive the Holy Spirit. You can't just say, God, give me the Holy Spirit. You got to receive it through Jesus Christ.
He's the way.
And that's the way, right, to salvation. So in that, him being your salvation, he will save you from depression. You said, well, how's he going to do it? He will guide you into all truth. Because Jesus said in John 8:31, that if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That means he will set you on the path to lead you to the answers that you need to know.
That's right.
Whether it's through a doctor on YouTube telling you about some deficiency in any particular vitamin or mineral or whatever, or whether it is somebody praying for you and identifying your demonic spirit, or you taking authority over evil spirits yourself, because that's what you're able to do in Christ, is to take authority. Because when he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us is the power of God to overcome the forces of darkness. So, you know, I'm not saying in one split second everything goes away every minute, but the point is you've been given the tools necessary to overcome. So that day when I was reminded, and of course it was the Lord leading me into that, when he reminded me by causing me to hear Nora Hayes in my mind from tape cassettes I had been previously listened to, it was like I was hearing his voice saying to me, if anything's not right, if it's not love, joy, peace, and patience, it's not the fruit of the Spirit, resist it because it's the devil. And I thought, well, could that be really true? I said, let me dare to step out and see. And to my utter amazement, it was true. It was demonic.
Wow.
You know, but then, of course, you know, there have been episodes of times that I've had bouts of depression. And say even in the last few years, but I'm finding out it's not simply demonic. It is demonic. But there's other things that are contributing factors.
Mm.
Like I'm learning about nutrition and health, you know, vitamin deficiencies and things of that nature. So it's imperative, because he'll teach you and guide you. You say, well, there's so much information on the internet, so much information. How we know what is right? Well, let the Lord continue to guide you and lead you. And over time, he will help you filter that out. He may send you right to the right video the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to so many different videos, and some of them seem to be saying this or this or that. But the thing is, I'm gaining, my knowledge base is increasing. And I'm also praying that God continue to give me the knowledge and desire to eat healthy. Because it's one thing to know about what foods are bad for your body, you know. It's another thing to have the willpower, to have the discipline to eat healthy.
That's right.
And to incorporate those into your diet.
But let me ask a question, because a listener may be saying, okay, you know, I kind of understand what you guys are saying. I'm just sad. You know, I've just been sad for a long time because bad things have happened to me. How does someone know? And of course, this would never replace a medical, I'm going to say, diagnosis. But how would one know? In other words, what does depression look like? What does depression look like? Does it? How does someone with depression feel? I don't think that it looks the same for everyone. I know it's a question, but I'm going to maybe answer with what I have seen. I have seen that people feel hopeless. People, when they're going through it, they don't see a way out. They don't think things will ever change. Sometimes they are tormented by thoughts of condemnation and thoughts of death. I've also seen, for some reason, that it even affects hygiene. I know a couple of people that they sometimes can go weeks without even wanting to take a shower. So what does depression look like? So I wanted to ask that question because a listener may be saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not depressed. I'm just a little sad. It'll be good for us to know and give a name and not just caress or adorn or just take lightly something that you're going through that may be a little bit more grave than you really think. And especially if you've seen family members, close family members go through the same thing and you just attribute it to your personality. I'm just like that. So that's a question I wanted to bring up, and hopefully it brings some kind of enlightenment or understanding to those that are going through it, and big and those that are close to the people who are going through depression.
Yes, that's I was sitting here writing down and taking some notes while you were speaking, so I wasn't quite ready to jump in here. But those are very important points to make, because the fact is, you know, when you said, what does depression look like? I'm thinking, duh, everybody knows what depression is.
No.
But maybe not everybody does.
No.
And not only that, but for some, I would say especially, well, when you're depressed, you know it. You know, I think you know at least once it arrives at a certain level, you definitely can recognize it. You know, mild cases, maybe not. Maybe think, well, I'm just sad. It's a blue Monday. Clouds are not, you know, the sun's not out today, so, you know, I feel a little down today, you know, and that can be the case, but that don't mean it's depression, you know, or it could be depression, and it can continue to amp up, you know, to increase to higher levels. You know, like you said, depression can lead people to just being despondent. You don't feel like doing anything. You're going to lay in bed all day. You want to pull the curtains shut. You don't even want to get in and take a shower and all those type of things. And sometimes it takes everything within you or even someone to help you to get motivated to do anything. Right? So depression can be those things. But there also is another element, since you brought this up, that I think we need to talk about in the next part, you know, more in detail, is a couple things. One is open doors that we can have done ourselves, that we've opened for the enemy to come in and for these things to have taken place. And the other part of it is other kinds of spiritual attacks. And when I'm talking about depression, it could be a spirit of heaviness. And I have a personal example of that. And I'd like to get into it here. Maybe I should just go ahead and jump right into it, because I'm sure somebody's going to listen to this. Oh, my gosh, I got to wait next 2 or 3 days before I hear the next part. You know, because sometimes there's days that go in between, and there's been weeks that sometimes have gone between our next podcast. And so I want to say this also, that open, you know, briefly, and I think we'll probably cover it more in depth in the next podcast, is there are things that we could do or have done that may have opened doors for the devil to come in, to attack us. Our past associations, like and in cooperation with the enemy in terms of playing with Ouija boards and the occult, different things like that, and things that many people think are harmless. You know, I don't believe in any of that stuff. It was just fun and just games at the time, you know, so, but yet they opened the door to the enemy, you know, to come in. And now that enemy, that demonic spirit, is in their life, plaguing them, following them around everywhere. It's like a stray dog you invite home, and come to find out that dog's got rabies. And dog's got all kinds of disease, whatever. You know, but that's something that people need to learn about. So we'll talk about some more of that as well. But the other part of it, as I was saying also, is some attacks of the enemy that appear like it's laziness. Well, it could be laziness, you know, but it could be something that mimics laziness. It's called a spirit of heaviness. I had an example where back in 1997, I believe it was, 96 or 97. I was working as a security guard at the Nashville Convention Center in Nashville, Tennessee, as a nighttime building security. That was my primary job. Sometimes I did event security during the day when they had events going on, but my main job was nighttime building security. And so, you know, 8-hour shift, 11 to 7 a.m., 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and me and another guy, we were on duty at the same time, and we would partner. One would be in the monitor control room for 2 hours, and the other would be on a roving and go sit down at the front desk. And every 2 hours, we'd switch, right? For the whole 8 hours, we'd continue to do that. And I remember there was a period of time I was praying for somebody, my family, a lot. And all of a sudden, I started feeling this heaviness, tiredness, weariness coming on me, to the point that every day I was going to work, I would drag myself to have to go to work and drag myself through the shifts to get. And it was so bad that I could hardly manage doing my duties. It was that hard. And I got to thinking, what is going on here with this situation? Am I not eating healthy? Well, I wasn't eating healthy like I've learned to eat healthy, but I wasn't eating terrible. You know, I didn't eat much donuts and cookies and all that kinds of stuff. I did cut out a lot of that stuff at the time. But anyway, I said, well, I don't think that's it, because I wasn't feeling like this all these last few years. And I said, well, maybe I'm not sleeping enough. And I said, no, that ain't it, because I've been sleeping plenty, getting my sleep in. So what is this? And one particular night, I was still feeling so heavy. It was the middle of the night, somewhere around 3 a.m., and I'm sitting down. I'm walking to my roving, checking doors and things like that through the convention center, making sure everything's locked, everything's good, you know. And I just had to sit down. And I'm like laying there like I just want to go to sleep. You know, I'm so tired. And I thought, what is this? And I got up to walk out the door. And all of a sudden, I felt something lift off of me. Like a wet blanket, heavy wet blanket lift off of me. And all of a sudden I was alert. I had energy and I wasn't tired.
Amazing.
Well, and all of a sudden I heard in my spirit, he came to give you a garment of praise for this.
Garment of praise instead of mourning.
A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I thought, what? Spirit of heaviness? Yeah. I had just been reading that here and not too much long before that. And I went back to look at that scripture. And that's in, I believe, Isaiah 61. I haven't looked at it in a long, long while. Let's go back there really quick. Isaiah 60 or 61. Yes, Isaiah chapter 61, it says down here in verse 3, he said, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And at that particular moment, in that particular case and situation, I recognized that thing that lifted off of me was a spirit.
Wow.
A demonic spirit of heaviness.
Do you know how it translates in Spanish here, the same verse? Instead of spirit of heaviness, it's a spirit of anguish.
Well, I didn't have anguish.
That is interesting.
I didn't have anguish. I just had weariness. Wow. Being so weary and heavy that I just wanted to lay down and sleep all the time. I was so tired. And when that thing lifted off of me, I was okay. I was normal.
Wow.
I was normal. And I'm like, wow.
God's mercy.
So you know what? I will even step out to dare to say this. Be careful when you call somebody lazy. Because maybe they're oppressed of demonic spirits and they don't know how to get free. And that spirit that's oppressing them to make them feel this laziness, as we say, You know, I'm not saying there's not a time for people to repent of laziness.
Sure.
What I'm saying is this. Sometimes it could be an enemy spirit attacking somebody and it's weighing them down and kicking them while they're down, because some of those things will actually lead them to depression, because now, like, well, I went to school and I wanted to study and I just couldn't focus. Or I applied myself to this job or to this sport or whatever, and I just can't accomplish it. I know some people like that. I know two brothers, young men, two brothers, and they're both within a year and a half apart or thereabouts in age. But one can just go and do just about anything he wants to set his mind to do. Mm-hmm. Right? And the other struggles at everything, or had anyway. And I remember saying, well, people just saying, well, he's just lazy. No, I know that he tried to apply himself many times. He would start something, want to do it, and then he would just get so tired and weary and just lay down and rest to the point where it led him into depression.
Wow. And see, there's a failure.
There's a lot of people that are in depression because they cannot achieve the things they're trying to pursue. And they can look at somebody else and say, wow, look at this guy, look at that girl, look at her. They're doing all this and doing all that. And I know I've been there, because I'd look at some of these guys, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, all these people who have done great in business, you know, and achieved all kinds of things. And even ministers of the gospel who could travel around the world, get on a jet, you know, go to the airport and get on a plane and go here and there and travel around and preach all over the world. And I think, I'm so tired, I don't feel like I can just make it home in my car, 20 minutes away. Not understanding that, you know what, there are some things there that I need help with. You know, and you might be one listening that either is going through the same thing or something similar, or you know somebody who is.
Right.
And I tell you what, we don't know what people are going through just simply because we pass them on the street and they smile. They may be on the inside dying. They may be on the inside contemplating suicide. And yet if we're sensitive to the Spirit, because one of the greatest things we can learn in this walk of faith is how to grow in love.
That's true.
That is the greatest of all.
That is.
And I truly believe that as we grow in love, not only for God, but for people, God will make us, we'll become sensitive to His Spirit for Him to reveal things to us about people that we can pray for them.
Amen.
Because we'll be amazed one day when we get to heaven at the people that will probably come up to us and say, you don't know me, but you prayed for me one day. And I said, I don't remember ever praying for you. And the Lord will tell them that it was that day you were walking or driving and you just saw them on the street and you just started praying for that person. You didn't know them. You never saw them before in your life, but you felt led to pray for them because your spirit was sensitive to leading of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You may have saved them from committing suicide.
That's right. That is so true.
You may have helped them to get the solutions to their problems. Yes. Maybe led them to the right church or whatever it might have been to help alleviate that problem in their life. Because the Lord is here to help us to walk in victory.
That's right.
And so I'm going to conclude this podcast here and let my wife close us out here. And we'll talk more about some of these things, about opening of doors, as well as some of the things about, you know, these things I kind of elaborated a lot more on than I thought I was going to about, you know, the spirit of heaviness. But there's things that contribute to depression that is precursors to it. You know, one, like I said, a person not being able to succeed because they continue to fail. Maybe a spirit of heaviness or something blocking their mind. Could be a spirit that's... I think I might want to talk about that, about a guy I know who had his mind, he was blocked. He couldn't even pray in the name of Jesus to accept Jesus until I bound and broke the power of the devil from being able to stop him from doing that.
Wow.
So with that being said, go ahead, sweetheart.
I'm so grateful to the Lord for this topic, because I know that many people are and will continue to be free. Hallelujah, because we are sharing the word of God, which is the truth. Jesus is the truth, and the truth will make us free. So we want to invite you, of course, if you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I have some good news and bad news. I'm going to start with the bad news. The bad news is that you and I were born sinners, and we are not able to reach God, and therefore God in His mercy, because He is rich in mercy, He sent His Son and He came to us. You and I could not go to Him, so He came to us through Jesus, and Jesus paid the price so that you and I can have eternal life with Him. So what are we asking today? Now, right where you are, give your heart to the Lord. Say, Jesus, I do believe. I accept you as my Savior. I cannot save myself. I give you my heart. I give you my life, and I'll receive yours. And you know what? The Bible says that when you do that, the Lord is just, and He forgives you, and He gives you a brand new nature. And you then go from becoming from a creation of God to now becoming a child of God.
Amen. 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 All right. So God bless everybody. We thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next part coming soon, hopefully.
Amen. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.